Hey, Margaret.
Yeah, Anton?
You know what people don't talk about enough?
What?
The fact that Felice follows Simon on Instagram. Welcome to People Don't Talk About Young Royals. I'm Anton. My pronouns are he, they.
And I'm Margaret. My pronouns are they, them.
And we're people here to discuss the show our friends are sick of hearing us talk about.
If that sounds like you, stick around. If your friends sent you this podcast out of a desperate attempt to get you to watch Young Royals, take this as a sign.
Go watch Young Royals, then come back to this podcast.
Hey Anton, what are we talking about today?
Today we'll be having a plot discussion of Season 1, Episode 2, focusing on all other relationships that are not Wilhelm and Simon, Part 2. We'll be continuing that discussion.
In this discussion, we won't be summarizing the plot of the episode, because we already did that. If you need or want a refresher, head back 5 episodes in our feed for our most recent This Week in Hlorishka for a full breakdown. This episode discussion will likely be all over the place, so strap in. You've been warned.
So, now we get to Felice and Simon, which...
I didn't have anything for this.
I wouldn't be surprised if listeners are like, why would you even include this? This is very superficial. However, she does follow him on Instagram, and I don't know. I want to include the possibility that, like, even though I do very much read ulterior motives in her inviting him to horror movie night, there's a possibility that him being Sarah's brother does have an aspect of why she invited him. Like, I cannot, it is not the only reason, I think that is very clear, but, like, calling it a wholly selfish act of inviting him, or one with only selfish intentions.
Yeah. You mentioned Instagram, so now I'm thinking about this. This has nothing to do with the episode. You know how all the characters' Instagrams are, like, actual Instagrams?
Yeah.
What if... after season 3, they made those Instagrams public. Wouldn't that be so fun?
It'd be very fun. One other thing I want to include that I think is the thing that I'm immediately thinking of when I'm thinking, like, Felice follows Simon, is that they're in choir together.
That's true. They are in choir together.
And so, like, I mean... Simon, through Sarah, we know of Simon's intentions of never being friends with a person from Hlorishka until Wilhelm.
He made the big exception.
But, like...
The big exception.
But with Felice, like... I mean, he doesn't seem particularly friendly towards her. But, like, he also doesn't seem to have any reason... Well, actually... Now I'm remembering episode 1, and he would have heard from Sarah how she treats her over the past month.
Yeah. I mean, he also witnessed it in episode 1.
Right, exactly. And so if there's any admiration, it might be like a one-sided thing. But like Simon is like, as of right now, or at least from all appearances, like the soloist of choir.
Yeah.
And so it's like... I don't know. Again, it's very superficial. Like, it could be as far as, like, Felice being like, oh, you're the soloist. Like, she knows, I guess she has to know he's not popular.
She definitely knows that he's not popular.
Like, but it's like, oh, maybe he's going to post a video of him singing on Instagram. And so, in case I see that.
Could be.
I don't, like, it's. Like, again, it's like these little things where it's,
I mean,
like,
also, though, like, I follow...
Trying to build out this one detail.
I follow people on Instagram who I have talked to a total of 4 times.
Right.
Just because I go to school.
And also
them.
With someone as large of a platform as Felice seems to have.
That's true.
I think... I know. It's like one either way. Because, like, some people with large platforms keep the number of people they follow really small.
Mm-hmm.
And other people might kind of want to have their finger on the pulse, but also she might want to have her finger on the pulse of what's happening at school.
Yeah,
which could even include like following Simon. Like, she might follow every single person in their year.
Yeah,
which is think it's reasonable to like consider. Anyways, again, we didn't need to get that deep into that.
Hey, but that's the show.
We mentioned that detail in an early episode. I'm like, I would be remiss to not mention that, like, this is a way that these two characters are connected, even though we've nearly never seen them interact. Which then leads us into Simon and Hilarishka in general, because this episode sees Simon participating in extracurriculars for extra credit. Yes,
he participates in extracurriculars for extra credit, but he also signs up for the extra tutoring for easier grading.
Yeah, exactly. Which I think both of these go to what I have identified as an attitude of a very transactional relationship. Mm-hmm. He is at Hilarishka for academic reasons. Yeah. Because he clearly sees it, we get in this episode, he clearly sees it as his way out of Bjerstad.
I mean, he says as much.
He says direct, he's straight from the dialogue.
And it makes a very awkward moment.
Yeah. Which, this is a thing that, I don't know if this is like a Simon character episode thing, but it's a thing to consider that I've really never really considered before. That the order of events does seem to be Sarah was getting bullied, so they got into Hilarishka. So is like the intention always to just have Simon graduate from Mariaberg and just like hope he was fine? Like, I think it could have been a two birds, one stone situation. Yeah. But like, I can see Linda just being like, oh, it's just a better experience potentially overall. That just makes sense for my kids.
Yes. And, like, before Sarah was bullied really bad, maybe it was like, well, we can't really afford it, so public school will be fine. But then it was like, okay, now Sarah's being bullied really bad. She's having to repeat a year because she missed so much school because of it. It's no longer worth it.
Right.
I'll send my kids somewhere else.
Which, I'm a little surprised we've never really gotten an indication that their lack of boarding status means that like they're on scholarship or anything. Like, we never really get mention of that, so I'm kind of wondering like if you're just is paying for the classes like just considerably cheaper,
sort of like
are they paying for Hilarishka?
Yeah, sort of like how if you don't live on campus in college
and colleges, it's like yeah and your university,
$10,000 like, cheaper.
Right. I can definitely see that being the case. Because, like, I don't know. The classes at Hilarishka, although, I mean, they do seem to be very high caliber. So I just don't know how they would be priced. Because also, knowing krona conversions is just beyond me. But
I don't even know how to convert to euros. I just Google it. What is the conversion rate? Hang on.
I'm forgetting.
I spelled that so wrong. One US dollar is 11 Swedish krona.
Okay. So, yeah. So it's like it's less than a tenth of the number. Like a little under a tenth of the number of krona is the number of dollars.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yes, because it's over 11 instead of over 10. Asking the English major to do math, but anyways, no one was asking. I was just doing it.
I worked all day. I can't do math.
But I did calculus.
I had to add three numbers together today, and I was like, "Fuck!" And it was like 1.02 and 0.99. Okay, what were we talking about?
But in terms of Sarah's relationship to Hilarishka, we're moving on. She's gaining acceptance through Felice. And I think this should have been an art of the choice, but I just caught it this time around when I was checking for a different detail. She checks her hair in Linda's rear view mirror before movie night. You mentioned it in this week of Hilarishka, but I never put it together. The like This is Sarah's anxiety of her appearance continuing from episode one.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's the smallest choice from Frida, but it, like...
Yeah.
What started with, like, the request for new jumpers in episode one, like, has now become... She's about to enter a space with kids who she wants to fit in with,
mm-hmm.
and is concerned about her hair.
Yeah.
Which, fair.
Yeah.
I think it's just, but I think it keeps filling out the character.
Absolutely. And I think it's interesting how much her and Simon contrast in their relationship with Hlaerska, because Sarah genuinely wants to fit in. Whereas mm-hmm. Simon, like we said, he's just kind of like reaping the academic benefits of the school. And rightfully so. That's fully his right. He's just has a very different motive because he has no interest in fitting in.
No, yeah. I think that's about it with Sarah.
Yeah.
She actually doesn't have that big of a part to play in this episode. But the only her other big scene is when August asks her for drugs.
Yeah.
I want to like to point out that these two didn't even interact in episode one.
Yeah.
So this is their first interaction.
Could you imagine your first interaction with somebody being, hey, can I?
I wrote two thoughts from Sarah's perspective.
Okay, let's have them.
Why the fuck is this guy talking to me about illegal shit?
Hell yeah.
And what is going on between him and my brother?
Hell yeah. That's remarkable.
That second one sounds suggestive.
It does sound suggestive. That was my immediate thought.
We've already been there. We've already been here with Simon and August specifically.
Have we?
Yeah, we searched Simon and August fan fiction.
Oh, that's right. I forgot about that. Oh, I think I promised I was going to read some, and I never did.
It's because, but I think it's because this episode is the thing that's, like, if I was a crack shipper, which I'm not really by trade, like,
I'm not either, but I could be persuaded.
Like, there's something about it.
Should I read some August Simon fanfic tonight to fall asleep?
I don't know if that makes me problematic. Like, if I'm aware that's problematic, can I still say I'm sort of intrigued about the idea? Like,
I'll read some fanfic and I'll keep you updated.
Well, because the thing is, if they were slightly different people, like, I don't know, there's a world in which that'd be an interesting story.
It could be an enemies to lovers, like forbidden love. Romeo and Juliet type shit.
Right. Hence, like...
Wasn't there, like, an alarmingly large amount of fics as well?
I think we determined that a lot of them were potentially August included in Willman fics.
That's true.
And, like, be determining whether or not that it was Simon and August in a romantic capacity was difficult to parse in the tags.
I love AO3 tags. They're my favorite. I'll never forget the time I read a Young Royals fanfic that was Wilhelm has mommy issues for the plot. And I was like, you know what? I get it. I have daddy issues for the plot.
But no. Like, we call Sarah very observant, but like, I think anything she thinks would potentially be a leap, because I don't know how you would get to what the truth is
based
on what the information she has.
She honestly may not think anything of it because she doesn't really react.
Back. Well, she looks back when Simon interrupts them and it's like, what the fuck was happening? What the fuck was that? She probably forgets it pretty easily, but like, I mean, August is close to spilling the beans. Like, that is when Simon steps in.
Oh, yeah.
Like, he says, what? Like, well, because your Simon brother helped us with the... Yeah, your brother helped us with the... And then
Simon's like, hey, can I talk to you?
So the question is, how much of that did Sarah hear and how much could she read between the lines? Because it's like...
I feel like she would have confronted her brother if she was reading between the lines there, though.
No, that's fair. Sarah, we definitely... We understand at this point about Sarah, not necessarily in her relationship with her brother, but like with her relationship with total strangers, that she doesn't really have that much trouble speaking her mind when she feels she has the right to. So
yeah.
August calls Simon and Sarah the school freaks. A side note, this I thought this might be a translation thing in retrospect, and then I checked. He literally uses the English word freaks.
Yeah.
I was like, maybe that's the mistranslation. No, it's not.
It's like you want it to English. Be. You're like, oh, I hope the subtitle's fucked up. And it's like, God damn it.
I mean, there have been enough of those at this point that are like, okay, I want to do my due diligence and check. I'll go to Swedish subtitles. And then all of a sudden, there it is. And then I hear it in August's voice. I'm like, oh no, he literally says freaks.
It's like, oh no, he went school there.
Freaks. The school freaks.
Have you ever looked into the history of the word freak?
I haven't.
It's mostly used for medical anomalies historically.
I mean, that makes sense. I mean, a lot of insults in that vein started as medical terms that we turned into insults.
Yep.
But I don't know. Ultimately, I wanted to kind of highlight that, like, in this scene, Sarah is fully a means to an end for August. Like, she is the best opportunity for him that he sees to get drugs that he is in withdrawals for.
Yeah. I'd say that's a fair assessment.
Like that's all the scene is. Sarah and Simon. I don't know how much more we have to say about this. Oh, I have some thoughts. Well, one I have that Sarah has a front row seat to Willman.
Hell yeah, she does, and I'm jealous.
Observing but not saying anything.
Yeah. Honestly, that's her right. It's her brother.
Yeah. Yes, exactly. Like, I mean, it involves their dynamic, but like, there's not really much to say beyond that. Beyond like, yeah, she clocks it.
She clocks it. Has not
said anything.
She's clearly very close with her brother, if she's able to clock it.
Right, but also he gets kind of obvious after.
Yeah, he do.
The soccer game.
Yeah,
so,
he do.
But one thing about Sarah and Simon that like I literally have not thought about this scene like at all, and then I had so which is why I noted Sarah fixing her hair the other because the scene I was actually looking for was near this. The little talk they have before they enter horror movie night, before they enter the manor house. I was trying to read Simon's reaction to the change in Sarah and Felice's dynamic. Simon says that he thinks it's weird that they were invited, but then when he's met with the information that Sarah and Felice might be becoming friends, I generally cannot tell if he's happy for her or biting his tongue.
I know what you're talking about, and I think I agree.
I think it's a bit of both, potentially. Or it's just ambiguous, because it's like, Simon pre-Wilhelm might have said something, but I feel like his own rule about not being friends with anyone from school has found an exception, so it's like possible he thinks like Sarah could have found a worthy exception too. Like, I think his rules are it's the end of episode two, so his rules are sort of broken at this point. So
yeah, and also I think for the most part he trusts his sister's judgment and character.
Right. Also, I don't want to forget that Sarah is clearly at Jalisco because she was being bullied, so I don't think Simon would shit on her for gaining a female friend, even if it is, like, the most popular girl in their year.
Yeah.
Like, if anything, because the most popular girl in the year seems to actually be treating her like a friend, he's like, okay, actually, maybe this place isn't all bad.
Yeah.
If it means my treater can be treated way better than she was at Marieberg. Like, he still thinks it's weird, but I think he does seem at least a little happy for her.
Yeah.
Which I think is a good follow through on what we started with in the pilot, how the relationship was established.
Yeah.
Simon and August continued antagonism was the first thing I wrote. Like, are there any two people who butt heads in this show?
Yeah.
And then all my other thoughts are about what we've been calling the second deal with August.
Yeah.
I wrote, Simon, what are you thinking?
Yeah, I feel like this is like textbook bad move.
It is. Like every single reactor I watch, like the I don't know. It's one of the many things, like the little, like after watching so many reactions, like you kind of get into this, I get into this groove where like I follow the rhythms and like I kind of can sense of, like what how the scene is probably gonna play out reaction wise. And like when we get to the build up to Simon shaking August's hand, if they choose to include that part, you're like, no.
Something that's always gotten me is he is a child of an addict and he still makes that deal.
I really sat with it this morning, and I consider it to be another act of self-sacrifice for Sarah and his mom indirectly. Like, he's making this deal so Sarah won't get involved.
Yeah.
I mean, I think he's making this deal in the same way he tacitly like agreed to the other deal, which was in the moment deciding to be the one to take the L.
I know, but
again, understanding it doesn't mean we have to think it's right.
I know, but I kind of don't understand. Because theoretically, as the child of an addict, he should, at this point, given what we know about their relationship, we can kind of infer how bad, and like we've seen how bad Micah's addiction is, we should be able to, or you would think that he would know.
Mm-hmm.
Don't trust a druggie to pay you back or for money or
my one thing that I think makes it more believable to me is that the show narratively has provided us with a reason why Simon needs money,
and he also doesn't really have any reason to think August is an addict at this point, I suppose.
I mean, he's taking meth.
Well, okay, but like he's taking opioids, I think, when he takes him from when he takes him from his dad. Isn't it opioids at that point? Or is he taking ADHD meds?
I think it's his dad's ADHD meds.
Okay.
Yeah.
Which, yes, very similar to meth.
Yeah.
If it's Adderall.
Right.
Or Ritalin.
Or I think, or maybe, but does... Was it what is
Vyvanse?
Vyvanse is what Sarah says she has. Yeah. So, that is assuming that Micah and Sarah get prescribed the same ADHD medication, which is a big.
I mean, Vyvanse is a very common.
Right. Yeah.
You got your big three: Adderall, Vyvanse, and Ritalin.
Yeah. And then I guess we also don't know what Vincent was supplying August, so it's like a whole, but yeah.
And to be fair, I don't think August cares.
Yeah.
I don't think he cares. Maybe that's a hot take.
Yeah, but I think, I see where you're getting at of like not understanding Simon's motivation here, but I think.
I understand his motivation. I think it's naive.
Yes. I think we should acknowledge that it's made even more frustrating by the dramatic irony of knowing that August's tuition hasn't been paid.
Yep.
Like, we don't know what that means, but like August seemed a little worried about it. So
yeah.
When he like literally says, I'm good for it, like insists
that it's a good deal. If somebody ever has to insist that they have the money, they don't have the money.
The thing that always infuriates me is like his whole thing of holding in his hand and then like that little like, I don't know how to describe it, like waving motion where he's like, come on, shake my hand. Like,
yeah,
we knew August was like pushy, but it's just like there's another level of just like, that I get about that. I don't know why. Like, I don't know. I think. In the moment, I think Simon is once again between a rock and a hard place.
Yeah, similar absolutely.
In episode one, when it's either admit that Sarah has no friends or choose this alternative lie, it's get August drugs or he goes to Sarah.
Yeah.
Like, in both cases, he is saving face for his... Well, he's making sacrifices to make Sarah and his mom feel better, or get them or not worry them.
Yeah, like shelter them from
Yeah,
a stressor.
Yes, he's parenting both of them.
Yes, parentification.
Parentification.
Did I say that right? I think so.
I believe so.
Fell right in my heart.
Yep. Speaking of parents, Simon and Micah.
The mood always goes down. Why do we keep bringing him up?
We have to when he's in an episode.
What if we just veto him and we just never talk about him again? Because it's also one of the last ones on here. I guess not. It's the third to last.
Yeah. I know.
Okay.
So I don't. We don't have to talk about him too much, but there is stuff we need to talk about. Simon is forced to keep coming around Micah's house by his own decisions,
mm-hmm.
which gives Micah false hope.
Yes.
I mean, that's just establishing the dynamic. But the thing we really need to unpack is Micah being a musician.
Yeah.
Like, I'd never really fully appreciated how good the writing of the Erickson family is.
It's very good.
But it's like,
it's very, very good.
Seeing what Simon and Sarah clearly got from their father.
Yeah.
It just makes everything so much more rough. Because you're just like, Sarah, we learn in this episode, got presumably her ADHD from her dad.
Mm-hmm.
And Simon, like on a more nurture level, got a love of music.
Yeah. And there are a few things more painful than realizing you have anything in common with somebody who has traumatized you.
Yeah. I can only imagine. Like, I don't know. Just that I cannot, I'm because we're talking about it, like I cannot put out of my head that offer from Micah to Jam.
Mm-hmm.
We're just like, that had to have been a thing they have done in the past, which makes me so sad.
Yeah, like when times were good.
Yeah. Or before Linda found the money and strength to leave Micah.
Yeah.
Like, it also started making me think, and this is pure conjecture at this point, thinking all the way back to how Micah and Linda got together.
Mm-hmm.
Of like, if Micah is a musician by trade.
Yeah.
Depending on what music scenes he was running in, I can see Linda falling in love with the musician.
Oh.
And then that musician having access to drugs, as often happens in entertainment spaces.
It sure does.
Rock
stars love, like, their drugs.
Like alcoholic musicians, it's kind of a trope at this point.
Yes.
So it doesn't take much math
to
put that together. So.
One of my favorite musicians has a song called High in California, and the entirety of the chorus is, I want to be in California, smoke some weed outside in the summertime. Okay. That's the entirety of the chorus.
For context, and I'm not in any way insinuating anything about my parents, but in ways in which like Norella specifically appeals to me. I have a dad who is a musician who my mom met when he was at one of his gigs. Like,
wait, really? That's how they met?
Yeah.
Oh, that's really cute.
So yeah, needless to say, I can relate a little bit in the sense that my dad is also a musician. So let's move on to Simon and Linda. Simon definitely, like, we talked about it.
Yeah.
Parentification.
Yeah.
Like, and like, I want to be very careful and conscientious of not feeling like we're being condescending to Linda.
No. Absolutely not.
She has clearly been through a lot.
She's been through a shitload of shit.
A lot of which we probably don't even know and won't ever know.
Yeah. But we can only imagine.
Exactly.
And, you know, there are certain relatively set ways that children that grow up with a lot of trauma react to it. And some of that is parentification and trying to protect the abused parent from further hardship.
Yeah.
But I also think they have a very close, healthy relationship as well. Like, they have...
They do. Yeah.
Like,
it's not like Simon is, at least at this juncture of the relationship, like, we don't know how it's evolved over time. But it doesn't seem like Simon is, like, straight up raising Linda.
No.
Like, no, in no regard. But he does have an element of, like...
He's protective.
Protecting her.
Yeah.
He's protective. And I think it's very interesting. I didn't even write this down, but like, I guess, like, going back a little bit, like, Sarah and Linda.
They butt heads.
They butt heads because Sarah feels like her mom is being overprotective.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think it's this interesting dynamic where I can very kind of, if you kind of look at the writing on the wall, you're like, okay, Linda is trying her best to raise Sarah. And so Simon is determined to not be the problem kid and raises both of them. Or, like, protects, but, like, looks out for both of them.
Yeah.
The way a parent would. Like I said, like, we only see Linda in one scene this episode. She's largely just giving supportive mother.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, that's basically what she gives for most of what we've seen of her.
Yeah. Like, she's excited that they're getting included. And so most of what she contributes in this episode is this kind of continuation of Simon choosing to save face with his mom and kind of continuing the ruse that he started in the first episode.
Yeah.
Of that, like, they're growing in popularity. And just his luck, through Felice and basically Felice alone, she has been able to, like, bolster his lie.
Yeah.
Like, I don't really know what would have happened if Sarah hadn't managed to make friends with Felice, because then eventually Linda would have had to have called Simon's bluff.
Oh, yeah.
And, like, I think it's also interesting that when Linda says she's like, isn't it great that, like, you're being invited to these kind of things, Simon agrees without any visible sense that he's lying.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we have an immediate reveal, like subsequently, that, like, he does find it weird. But I think along the same lines of, like, I can't tell if he's, like, if he's happy for Sarah or if he's biting his tongue. Like, I can't tell if he's continuing the ruse or is also starting to, like, agree that it is a good thing that they're getting involved.
Yeah. I mean, even if you hate a place, though, it is kind of nice to not always be excluded from everything.
Right. I think part of Simon's chip on his shoulder is his feeling that he doesn't belong.
Yeah.
And now he is being included, which, for as much of a bold rebel as he is, like, does feel good.
Yeah, it's nice to be included.
Yeah. And so, I don't know. Linda is out here.
She's
doing the most for having us believe that not all mothers are trash in this show. So,
yeah. She's definitely the best mother of the show. Can we say that? I'm going to say it. I'll go out on that. Well,
we've only seen two mothers so far.
Yeah, and she's certainly better than the queen. So,
exactly. I think that's all I really had on that.
Yeah, shout out Linda. You're doing the most.
Shout out better Linda. Better than the queen. I mean, Simon's self-sacrifice, we already talked about that. So
yep.
Simon and his friends. We mentioned this in Art of the Choice, but oof, we should bring it up again.
Do we have to?
Like, I don't know. Like,
no, I'm kidding.
As a refresher, like, Ayub and Rosh have their own dynamic that we're not really let in on.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a clear discomfort that Simon has different motivations.
Yeah.
In life than they seem to have.
Yeah.
Like, they don't say that, but it's implied by their expressions that they do not similarly agree with Simon that they, like, need to get out of Bjarstad as soon as possible.
Yeah. But that also...
Or not as soon as possible, like, eventually.
Yeah, but that also... Like, they are still clearly very close. Like, you don't just come home to your friends playing video games in your bedroom if you're not very close.
Right. Exactly. Like, your mom let them in. Or wait, or...
No, they probably just walked in. I don't think she was home. Or maybe we don't know if she was home.
Right.
But regardless, either her mom...
I mean, pizza was ordered.
That's true.
So I think...
That is true. That's a good point.
It's possible that either Linda was too tired to cook that night, or she, like, called pizza on their house.
Yeah.
Which is also possible. Dude, I can't remember, because I don't...
Pizza delivery.
Although, does Simon talk to his mom off screen when he's...
I think so. I think we hear him, like, talking...
About something.
While
about,
he, like, walks just, into the room.
Yeah, yeah.
So she was so she let them in, presumably.
Right. Oh. But that's still, like, that's still definitely, like, best friend behavior.
Oh, yeah.
So they're close, but I think there is this distance that, like, was barely there in the first episode and does seem to be growing.
Yeah.
In this episode, because we had them set up as, like, coming on the bus at a separate, on a separate bus stop. And, like, them all together and everything. And them and Simon very much being a part of them in terms of, like... I mean, they were asking questions about Hilarishka and everything. But they still, like, were agreeing everything. It was, like, with like, hey, like, is the prince... What do they ask? Is the prince as much of an asshole as he seems or something mm-hmm. like that? And Simon's, like... I think someone was, like, I don't know. I didn't really... engage with him.
Yeah.
And now he has, since we last saw them interacting together.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think those things aren't really connected, but I think it contributes to, like, Simon is getting more motivated, even more at Hilarishka by the day.
Mm-hmm.
And Ayub and Rosh are not Hilarishka, and they can't really relate or keep up with everything. Yeah. So it's like they are friends because they're friends to an extent. Like, it's we've always been friends for a very long time, and so we continue to be in each other's lives, but there seems to be more and more that they can't relate to him on.
Yeah.
Or seem to talk about in a way that he feels they want to listen. I mean, like, the small detail that we haven't really talked about yet is, like, oh, I was at rowing practice.
Yeah, and they're like, what the hell is that?
And Rosh is like, rowing isn't a sport.
Yeah.
Football is a sport. And so it's like, I get where they're coming from, but I also get where Simon's coming from. Where you're just like, I get that it sounds ridiculous, but, like, if it matters to your friend, then, like, maybe don't make fun of it. Like, I don't know. Like, it's like you're so. I think there's. It's just like they're so far outside of their, like, understanding of the world that they're just like, what is this? I don't.
Yeah. Yeah, because rowing certainly, I can imagine, was not a school sport at Maryburg.
Yeah.
I don't know many public schools that would have rowing.
Mm-hmm.
Or in the U.S., we would call it, like, crew.
Hmm. Anyways, do you have any more to say about Simon and his friends?
No, I think we covered it all.
I was about to say something really cringy. Never mind.
Say it. You can cut it. Say it.
I was going to say Gucci.
Gucci. Gucci fam. That's lit. It's pretty swag, if you ask me. Okay.
All right.
Outro?
Yep. Thank you for listening. If you'd like to keep up to date with when we release new episodes and other pod-related announcements, you can check out our Instagram at People Don't Talk About. Our next episode will be a character standing for Wilhelm in season 1, episode 2. So stay tuned. And with that, all that's left to say is
let's start a revolution, baby.